Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Boston Celtics, the one team to be thankful for here in the Commonwealth. It's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. ESPN has released their power rankings for the week.
Ooh, I'm titillated.
The Celtics are up to number two. The Golden State Warriors dropped off down to four.
Mm-hmm.
And they were usurped by the Oklahoma City Thunder in the three spot. The Celtics moved up from three to two. The Cleveland Cavaliers remain at number one with a record of 17-1. By the way, the Cavaliers, I didn't know this, only have two players in their rotation who are 30 or older. Caris LeVert and George Niang, and that's it. That is a pretty good position to be in right there. It's not like the Celtics are super old or anything like that, but the Cavaliers' entire rotation is 30 and younger. Like, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good situation. And they, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what their contract situation's like for all those guys. I know Mitchell's making a lot of money. I think Mobley just re-upped. So they may find themselves running into apron issues and all that other crap that, you know, the Celtics had to sell the team for. So we'll see what ends up going on there. But I think that, in general, things are setting up here. If Cleveland can keep it up, and I think that they can. I mean, we're 18 games into the season. They've lost one game. If Cleveland can keep at this, you might be looking at a not just this year rivalry, but a multi-year kind of back-and-forth sort of LeBron versus Curry type of thing. I think that's possible. The last time there was something like this that I thought was going to be the next rivalry of the NBA was Oklahoma City and Miami. Because the two of them, you looked at them and you were like, okay, well, Miami's in place for a long time. They got three superstars, and they're just going to be running roughshod over the East for however long LeBron James wants to stay there. And in Oklahoma City, you had Kevin Durant, you had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, all three of them together. And then they all said, get me the hell out of Oklahoma City. But before that, it seemed like they were going to be one of the, they were all young, right? They were all in their early 20s and they were nasty and they went right to the finals. And then Durant went left for Golden State and the whole team disintegrated. But before that, it seemed like those were going to be two trains that kept crashing into each other. And I wonder if there's a possibility of that now with the Celtics and the Cavaliers.
Certainly on paper there is. And, you know, I think it took steps in that direction the first game. You know, you got to build a little, I don't know, continuity of angst,
yeah.
I guess I'll describe it as. And then obviously you got to meet in the playoffs. You got to have more playoff battles there with everybody hopefully healthy this time around so you can have a legit battle. I do think, so we talked yesterday about the Celtics being the measuring stick and how we all agree that measuring sticks are good.
Yes.
Having the king of the mountain is good.
Absolutely.
You also need some regular challengers, in my opinion. Some building of continuity of battles in the postseason, right? Some up-and-comers that chip away, and it's not quite their time, but are they going to break through the Celtics? And Cleveland could be one of those. I mean, I think people want to anoint Anthony Edwards and company, one of those in Minnesota. Like, Oklahoma City could be one of those now again. The Nuggets, I think, are back with Jokic, right? Like, they're back in the conversation after the slow start to the year. But that second tier will be important to me for sort of the overall entertainment value of this Celtics run for however long it lasts.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that could change, too. You know, Giannis trade or Philly blows it up again. Maybe Embiid is gone. Although, if remember last week, didn't Scal say Embiid's, like, done?
Yeah.
He thinks Embiid just sucks now.
Yeah.
Found that weird.
I think I read somewhere the Sixers are now just trying to win, like, 35 games this year or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Ouch, babe.
Hold on 1 second. This was on ESPN. It was an insider content brag. And here is what they said about the 76ers. Oh, how many they need for the play-in, right? This is how many they need just to make the play-in tournament. Ramona Shelburne reported on the Sixers, who've gone from a home run offseason to a shipwreck of a season. After widely being seen as one of the Eastern Conference favorites, they're now merely hoping to stay in the mix for a play-in berth. That means top 10, all right? In the top 10. The 10 seed makes it into this thing.
And based on their history, it'll be a play out.
Right.
And they always lose with the season on the line.
They're on the outside looking in right now. How probable is that win total for a club that currently stands at 3-14? It's like the Patriots. And is relying on a pair of over 30 stars with long injury histories. ESPN's Basketball Power Index, or BPI, projects the Sixers to finish with 36.3 wins and a 78% probability of getting to at least 33. But that comes with a massive caveat. The model's forward-looking metrics aren't equipped to analyze projected injuries to Joel Embiid and Paul George that they might have as the season continues. Instead, it treats those two like the rest of the players in the league in assuming they're going to be available to play until they're ultimately ruled out. The system also bakes in estimates for how well the duo will play when they're on the court. Neither George nor Embiid has played anywhere near their All-NBA standard, a reality nearly as troubling as their lack of availability. For all the focus on the notion of needing at least 33 wins to reach the play-in, ESPN's model believes there is a 14% chance the Sixers could amass that number and still come up short. Either way, the fact that we're dealing with this question at all suggests Philadelphia is running out of time, a stunning truth given the season hasn't made it to December yet. That's great.
They should probably stop trusting the process.
I'll tell you what, that warms my heart. You know, I talk about how there's not much to be thankful for around here. Be thankful you're not in Philadelphia right now with these 76ers. My goodness.
What a terrible run. Like, that they kept believing they were on the cusp of something, and it was going to Embiid and Simmons and, like, the various...
Jahlil Okafor and
Markel
those guys.
Fultz.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many times they were worked up into a lather only to be disappointed in the end? Kind of feel bad. Well, I don't really feel bad.
I don't feel bad at all.
And I don't really like Embiid.
Yeah. Forget about it.
He's not very likable. Screw
him. He's not. All right. Time to talk to Brian Scalabrine, who is very likable, and he's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, Perfecting the Art of Fresh, also by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by FindMassMoney.gov. Mr. Scalabrine, how are we doing today, sir?
Great. It's a good little break for me before Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm doing well. You guys?
We're doing great, and it's great to be on with you here the day before Thanksgiving. I want to hear about what your Thanksgiving's going to be like, but first of all, we were just reading some numbers about the Philadelphia 76ers. We talked to you about them last week, and we'll get to the Celtics, obviously, but are you enjoying the downfall of the 76ers, or do you prefer that they're competitive and that the Celtics have more kind of peers right now?
I mean, I don't really do that. Like, I can only just, like... It's like, I don't root for people to be bad or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And I also don't root to be right. Like, when I was like, you're not going to be good with Joel Embiid and Paul George. The NBA is shifting. It's becoming a faster league, a more cutting league. And you play slow and methodical. I think I was on air with you guys a couple of weeks ago. I said, like, the Bucks, they play a little bit methodical. And, like, that doesn't work anymore. It's just like there's been adjustments to the game. And so... my boy Tim Bontemps is like, best big three in the NBA. I called him out and said, you're crazy. That's not the best big three. They play too slow. Behold, it's just like those guys are not good enough. They're not fast enough. They don't play fast enough. It's more than just Joel Embiid's injury.
The Porzingis return, was it what you expected, better than you expected? What did you make of it all?
It was a reminder that no one's beating us in four games in a seven game series. I mean, Horford's awesome. Like, Horford's been awesome, but when Porzingis picks and pops from 30 feet out, you have no choice. Like, you're either going to put two on Tatum and give him a three, or, you know, you're going to put, you know, you're going to, like, you're going to shade your guy towards Porzingis, and Tatum's going to turn the corner, or Brown's going to turn the corner. So it was, I mean, listen, it's a big overreaction, like, that night. Clippers were, you know, they were dogging it, whatever the reason is, but we, yeah, we looked amazing. I mean, I don't know. I don't see how, if we're healthy, I don't see how anybody can beat us when we're all playing at this level. And I think it was also a reminder, like, watching Tatum and Brown with Porzingis out there, they've improved a ton. They've improved White, Holiday, all those guys have all improved, and then Porzingis is coming back.
It's funny you bring that up. If you were a coach of an opposing team, and let's say, I don't know, you have a generic NBA good playoff roster, how would you approach it? How would you try to make the Celtics uncomfortable?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's only one way to kind of do that, and they've been cracking that code as well. It's, you know, it's you know, funnel everybody to a shot blocking big, rotate around it, rotate and take away threes, rely on having three centers that could just, like, defend the rim. Like, before Indiana got hurt, they had, like, kind of the roster that can do that. I don't know how physical they are on the perimeter, but you need, like, physical defenders. It'll be like if and like, just a makeup of, like, the Nets with three shot-blocking Claxtons, right? Like, you would need something like that. And make the Celtics earn it from the free-throw line, put them on the line, they can make a ton of plays at the rim. That's really the only way I would think that you can beat them. But their decision-making is elite, like, the way that they move the ball and they read the rim. And, you know, like, it's like being in rotation is a losing proposition for any team, especially when you're playing a team that can really move the ball the way they do. So that is, that's, I feel like that's the only way to do it. But I still feel like the way that Tatum and Brown are playing and the way that they're reading the game, then I still think that they would get wide open shots and you would just hope that they would miss them.
How would you characterize Joe Mazzulla in his third season now, his second season, I should say? Or no, wait, it is his third season. How would you characterize his ability to adjust to those things you were just describing? I mean, you did see Golden State sort of blitzing Jason Tatum, guys defending mm-hmm. the three-point line more so. A very analytic-driven head coach in Joe Mazzulla. How do you think he's been handling all that, and how do you think the team's been responding?
Well, let me just, like, argue the analytic, you know, part of it. Like, he always says, like, threes are worth more than twos and all that stuff, but you know, I think what they're trying to do is get layups and dunks. Like, I think I do believe they're trying to get layups. He's just not going to, like, get mad at the guy when the guy takes, you know, when they take 53s, right? But, you know, I think Joe has doubled down on the reads, and I think that so reading the game, like Tatum and Brown getting off the ball, you see behind the back dribbles or passes by Tatum. So they doubled down on ball movement. They doubled down on 3-point shooting, and for the most part, like, the only times I feel like we're not, like, phenomenal is when, you know, we have those lulls, like, in the second and third, right? And then I'll give you credit. Like, the Golden State game and blitzing Tatum, that was something new, and they did it super aggressively. So that would be something that you'd have to deal with. But, you know, if Porzingis is out there, that's like I think that's a non-starter when it comes to just leaving Porzingis that wide open. But overall, like, I think that he's took what he did last year or year one and took what he did last year, and I think he's doubled down on it, and I think we're better for it. And the biggest thing, doesn't really matter what we think. It matters what the players think, and the players have bought into it as well. So if those guys have bought into it, you just have to assume that this team is going to be really good. Because
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's a bit.
Derek White is fifth, I think, right now in plus minus in the NBA. I think you guys at NBC Sports Boston last year had a little campaign to try to get him an all-star nod. Could this be the year? Could he be an all-star for the Celtics this year?
Oh, you know what? I don't usually do that until, like, January. But, like, I have to really, like, go through the Eastern Conference and look at it. But I can't, like, name three guards that you think are better. It's, like, really hard. Is someone going to pick, like, let's say Milwaukee's been playing better, but is someone going to pick Damian Lillard over a third Celtics? Maybe. So I maybe this is the year that he does it. But I think you should re-ask that question to me a little bit later in December, January, because a lot of stuff could happen. You know, what's going on with Philadelphia? Tyrese Maxey, you know, is Orlando Bancaro going to play enough? Like, there's, you just got to go through the list and, like, list the 12 or 13 guys that are going to make it and decide, like, if Derek White's going to do it. It's not going to be voting. We know that, right? So let's just scratch that off the list. It's weird how we make a big campaign about vote for this guy, vote for that guy. It always comes down to the coaches, which I disagree with, by the way. I think you should, like, pick 10 and then the coaches pick 2. But, you know, whatever. That's just the way that they do it. But, you know, ask me again in December, and I'll dive into it. And then we'll take a look. But I don't see why not. His numbers are incredible. His fourth quarter numbers, and I think coaches value Derek White. I will say this. I don't think the defenses are tilting as much to Tatum and Brown and leaving Derek White as much in the fourth quarter, I think at least the last 2 weeks. So, you know, his impact has been pretty high for this team.
I'm not a analytics guy, numbers guy in most sports, but I brought up plus minus, and when I was looking that up, it sort of jumped out at me. Like, the Knicks have 5 of the top 14 plus minus guys in the NBA, and obviously the Celtics got a couple in the top 5. Like, how much stock do you put in plus minus stats? Do you look at those? Do they tell you a story? Like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so I can help you with that one. Like, the Knicks like to play guys together, and then they'll play like a second unit.
Okay.
Right? It's the guys who have to blend lineups, right? Like, when you put a stud player with a backup group. Now, our backup groups are pretty awesome. Like, we have, like, that Tatum, Pritchard, Hauser, Horford, right? That's a great group, right? So a lot of times, like, when you see high plus minus guys from, like, a group of people, it means there's not a lot of mixing. Or, you know, you don't have you don't put, like, Jalen Brunson out there with 5 bench or 4 bench guys, right?
Right.
So his plus minus stays pretty high, right? That's kind of how it works. And most star players, their plus minus takes a hit when they go to the bench, but ours kind of works. But, you know, I look at plus minus over the course of a year. We do look at it from a game-to-game basis, but over the course of a year, like, net rating plus minus, it just shows that you're a winning player. But it also shows that you got a really good team, and you're on a really good team. So, like, you know, we've had guys coming off the bench that had high plus minuses. That's huge for a team that shows, like, a championship level of a team.
Scal, who's your favorite non-Celtics team to watch, and who's your favorite non-Celtics player to watch in the NBA this year?
Jokic for sure. Like, it's not even close. Like, I will watch him. My son loves Curry, so I get a lot of Curry at the house because, he wakes up in the morning and he watches. We have the league pass, so he'll watch the game from the night before. One of my favorite teams right now, Memphis, Oklahoma City. Those guys are good. I got to be honest with you. Like, I haven't found. Oh, Cleveland. Cleveland's actually really good. I watch Cleveland a lot. So, like, those would probably be the top teams. I dabble a little bit with Brooklyn because of their cutting. And I'm like, you know, I coach my AAU team. I'm always looking for new ideas. I think they're one of the better cutting teams in the NBA. So, like, with that. But I think, like, those kind of groups, they play super hard. I kind of tend towards teams that move the ball and bomb threes. I just kind of like that. So I kind of watch teams like that. And then with Memphis, you know, you have Ja Morant. It's like a freak of nature. So you never know what he's capable of doing.
We've been seeing clips online after some of these more recent games, Clippers, Minnesota. And I don't know how close you are, if you even talk with any of these opposing broadcast teams, but it seems like they're getting really frustrated with the Celtics. Like, it just, I can't believe this. They're spending all this money. They're going to be in the second apron. They're going to have to trade Porzingis. They're mad that Pritchard's hitting threes. Like, does it seem like the Celtics are breaking the brains of opposing fan bases and broadcasters to you?
Yeah. We talk about that a lot on the morning show as well. Like, people don't like the fact that they're good. And it's like, and the fact that they move the ball, a lot of people in general don't like 3-point shooting. and they do it, but they're actually really good at it. So everyone's trying to play catch up to the Celtics, and they're bombing threes, yet they're going like 9 for 45 against them. So yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I think people don't love the Celtics the way they do things, and you know, like I don't know what's not to like. Like, name a player on this team that's unlikable. People have said other, you know, guys are unlikable, but I look at this group as like, you got star players who grew up and they didn't share the ball, and now they do. You have a Hall of Famer like a Drew Holiday who makes sacrifices and all the time, and defensively he's awesome. You got Porzingis who bounced around and loving life here. Al Horford, like one of our generation's most winning player who's never won a championship, finally did. It's like Peyton Pritchard, who doesn't love him? Hauser, like, he's a good team. I don't understand. A lot of people even like Cato league-wide. So, you know, my circles are different than what, like, opposing fans, but I do think there's a lot to like about this team. And I do believe that people are getting bored with the Celtics and how good they are, because I think it's just a reminder. Everybody's having these teams and free agency and all that, and Porzingis comes back, and just how we let off this interview, I think most people are saying, like, you're not beating the Boston Celtics in 7 games unless something drastic happens.
I'm assuming you saw that Cooper Flagg dunk that went viral last night. So I was just wondering, mm-hmm. He's the projected number one overall pick in the draft. How much have you crossed paths with him, and what type of a potential franchise player do you think he is?
Yeah, so you guys know my story with Cooper Flagg or not really?
I do not.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, like, you know, when he was in Maine,
yep.
I know his workout coach really well, and he tells me, like, man, I got this 14-year-old that's here, and he plays against college kids, and he dominates them. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Yeah, I use, like, a different four-letter word, right? And I was like, well, I got a good gym. Like, this gym that we got a bunch of, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids. I've been working, you know, to stay in shape. I work out with this group. Like, we have, like, this cool understanding, whatever. So he comes down to our pickup at 14, and he just dominates, right? I'm like, yo, this guy's from a different planet, man. I've never seen anything like that, right? And it's not just the dunks and everything like that. It's more than that. So I called Duke up the next day. You know, I said, yo, I got this kid that he wants to go to Duke. And it kind of blew me off, right? So John Shire blew me off at first. Then I called USA Basketball, and I said, yo, I got this kid. You guys got to check him out. And they kind of, like, scoffed at it. I don't know, white kid from Maine. Like, how good can he be? You know, that whole thing. Until they saw him down at EYBL Peach Gym. And those guys now, they hit me up. They're like, yo, man, thanks. Thanks for the connection. So, you know, his brother this summer played on my AAU team, and he lived with me. So I just, because, you know, the parents were going all over the place with Cooper and, like, USA Basketball and stuff. So Ace, who now is committed to UMaine, he just kind of, like, worked out with me 3 times a day, just kind of lived here, and it was good, man. I have a good relationship with the family and everything like that. I think he'll be a projected number one pick. I don't know, like, I really don't know how good he's going to be. Like, are you a Hall of Famer? Are you an All-Star? Are you a starter? I have no idea. I just know, like, when it comes to basketball, he learns it so fast. So whatever you're seeing right now, I think he'll be 10x better by the time March rolls around.
All right, Scal, there's no game tomorrow. You don't have to work again until Friday. What's your Thanksgiving spread looking like, and what's the first side you're going for?
Yeah, so it's interesting. My family wanted to go back to Seattle, and we got to go to Chicago. So I'm actually catching a flight tomorrow, 8:30 in the morning to Chicago.
Woof.
And I'm doing sort of Thanksgiving solo, and the family's out in Seattle. So we've already kind of celebrated it. I'm not actually a really simple guy. Like, I like turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, like the whole thing. Like, there's nothing like that that's different. It's just, I think, the way that my wife would prepare all that stuff. So standard Thanksgiving guy. The only thing I do is a little bit different. We usually eat at like 1 o'clock. We start cooking early and stuff like that. But that's just, Scalabrini tradition is just having Thanksgiving dinner, which would be like more like lunch for us.
All right, very good. Brian Scalabrini, safe travels tomorrow. Have a very good holiday, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Sounds good. See you.
All right, Brian Scalabrini joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got a new guest corner here as Danny Ventura, Boston Herald, will join us here in just a few minutes, and we will discuss all of the Turkey Bowl festivities going on in high school football all around the state right after this.